Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. On the phone with me is Alexandra Experton, Sustainability Leader, Cargill Agricultural Supply Chain, Asia Pacific. Alexandra, welcome to the show.
Clarissa, thanks so much for hosting me today.
It is absolutely our pleasure. I've spoken with Cargill before, which I've told you, and I enjoyed that conversation. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this one with you. Now, you announced, or the company announced in early June this year, that it is on track to eliminate deforestation in all commercial palm concessions in third-party supply chains by the end of this year. This sounds pretty amazing to me, but how big of a deal is it to Cargill?
It's a very big deal. Sustainability is embedded in the way we operate. It's really critical for the future of our business. As you know, we're in the business of providing food, agricultural, financial, and industrial products and services. So we need to make sure that we have sustainable supply chains. And we're really proud to play an active role in driving that transformation, especially when it comes to protecting forests and ending deforestation. Now, considering Cargill started this journey 6 years ago alongside our peers in what I see is really uncharted waters. Now, sustainability wasn't new to Cargill, but the expectations of our stakeholders had evolved in terms of how we're looking at deforestation. What does deforestation mean? And also how we can improve the livelihoods of smallholders as well as the rights of workers in the plantation industry. What's become really clear is that collaboration has been key in getting us to where we as Cargill, but also as an industry, are today. And additionally, Cargill has invested a lot over the past 6 years in making sure that we have really crisp, strong systems and processes which lay the groundwork for continued success, that provide consistency and transparency in the way we work. We're also leveraging innovative technology to support this transformation. And I hope to get into more detail on that today with you.
Oh, but I hope so too.
In short, I think the numbers speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. We have 100% traceability to mill, 50% traceability to plantation. So traceability is really important, that transparency in your supply chain, not just to identify the issues to support engagement, but in the long run, to really verify for compliance. And what moves us in the right direction is the fact that 93% of our direct suppliers have the same sustainability commitments as we do. And nearly 60% of them have been successful so far in translating that into a plan on how they're going to do this on the ground. And that's the hardest part. You know, there's making a commitment, but actually turning that into action is something else. And we're really committed to supporting them in achieving that. And we have a lot of experience to build on from our own plantations, which are nearly 100% certified under RSPO. And we've been upholding the high carbon stock approach, which is what ultimately defines that no deforestation commitment in the palm industry. So in brief, you know, great progress so far, but we still have a long road ahead, but we're well prepared to continue to eliminate deforestation and also respect the rights of workers, protect the rights of communities, and ensure we're improving the livelihoods of smallholders.
We're speaking with Alexandra Experton, a sustainability leader, Cargill Agricultural Supply Chain, Asia Pacific. Okay, let's go back to what you said about transparency. One of the things that has happened in the last several years is potentially the optics on palm oil. You know, it's kind of started to be looked upon, the sentiment, the global sentiment has turned against palm oil and palm oil products. for whatever reason. Maybe it is the accusation of deforestation or the lack of sustainability, accountability. How important is it to Cargill for the public to now be aware of your sustainability efforts and your goals?
Cargill believes transparency is not only key to addressing the issues on the ground, as I pointed out. Mm-hmm. One of those aspects is achieving that level of transparency. But it is also important for changing perceptions around what I call the overall brand of palm oil.
Right.
So unfortunately, as you know, there's a lot of unsustainable practices, and understandably so, which have been linked to palm oil. And consumers want assurance that the products they're buying are sustainable, mm-hmm. are produced responsibly. And so that's where we play a role in not just talking about our progress and our achievements, but also talking about some of the challenges we face on the ground. And I think in talking about what those challenges are, you're not just managing expectations, but you're also creating that shared sense of responsibility and urgency to address the issues, whether it's deforestation, whether it's forced labor, or ensuring we're including smallholders in the supply chain. We have to work together to achieve this. It's going to take communities, consumers, local governments, suppliers, processors, you name it. But Cargill alone can't take this on. And it's going to really require a two-pronged approach, the way we see it, where we're going to have to address our own supply chains, but also work at industry level to de-link deforestation and these negative issues from palm oil.
You brought up challenges. Let's talk about them. No deforestation, no peat, no exploitation. These policies are great. They're very sound. They're very timely. But tell us about the challenges of trying to first come up with them, then implementing them, and then ensuring that there is compliance.
So I wanted to set the context here, particularly with regards to the importance of palm oil. Mm-hmm. So palm oil employs over 4 million people are employed in palm oil.
Right.
Not to mention, it's a very affordable edible oil, and demand for edible oils are going to continue increasing with the population headed towards 10 billion by 2050. So palm oil is here to stay. But we need it to be sustainable. And this commitment to sustainability for Cargill wasn't our first. We've long been committed to the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil. But with sustainability, what's the best practice today? There's a better practice tomorrow. So it's really about continuous improvement. And that's how we see this evolution with now no deforestation, no clearance of peat, no exploitation. So this was really a natural next step in coming out with this policy and a needed one. We need to continue moving and addressing these issues. And for Cargill, we want to be the most trusted source of sustainable products and services for our customers. So the policy is really just an example of this ambition. And I think what's different from the past is that it goes into a much deeper level of detail, moving beyond standards. And the biggest challenge I see us facing today is the balance between conservation and supporting the livelihoods of smallholders. It can't be mutually exclusive. We really need to find a balance.
You need their buy-in.
Correct. Exactly.
And that is a bit of a challenge, I would imagine, because in the short term, some of these policies might mean less product for them, might mean higher costs for them. How do you balance that out?
So what's really important is our commitment to always include smallholders. And for us to be able to do that, we have a responsibility to raise their awareness around what the issues are and, more importantly, how to tackle them and at their level. And Cargill works with our peers, for example, through the Palm Oil Collaboration Group. We're a co-convener of a working group which specifically focuses on that issue of balancing production and protection what we call beyond concessions, so within the smallholder context. And this is particularly relevant today. A study last year by Kemen Austin et al. Demonstrates that deforestation inside of palm oil plantations is declining, but it's increasing outside of concessions, so driven by smallholders. Now, whether or not those smallholders are planting palm oil, we're still trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, we're working together as an industry to identify what are the appropriate solutions that can work for smallholders to prevent deforestation going forward while ensuring that they continue to be successful business people.
We're speaking with Alexandra Experton, sustainability leader, Cargill Agricultural Supply Chain, Asia Pacific. This one is of quite a big interest to me, being in Singapore, surrounded by Indonesia, Malaysia and such. You implemented a fire prevention and awareness program for 100% of your operations and surrounding communities within a 5-kilometer radius. Tell us more about this. Is it to curtail and eliminate slash and burn practices?
So in fact, this is a long-standing, this no burn policy mm-hmm. is a long-standing policy in our own plantations, as well as across the industry. We've seen the implementation of this evolve over the years, though. So Cargill is using several tools to eliminate burning and respond to them better. These include thermal sensing technology. So that helps us to identify where there's a hot spot mm-hmm. within that 5-kilometer radius of plantations. We also use boots on the ground. So we have people who are frequently patrolling the areas. And when fires arise, we have our trained team with the equipment to address the fire. And we also have a strong outreach program called the Fire Free Village Program to empower local communities in fire prevention and control. And one last point to note here is, again, how important collaboration is in addressing burning practices across the region. And it really takes partnership with local authorities as well as neighboring plantations to raise awareness and build capacity to prevent as well as respond to these fires.
2020, we're halfway to the end of 2020. It looks like you're going to hit your targets quite nicely. There's a new target for you, 2025, the 2025 strategy, a key component of which is ensuring compliance to some of these policies. How are you going to achieve that on the things that are still a work in progress? You're talking about more transparencies, for example, greater compliance. How much of a challenge will that be in the next 5 years?
Sure. So as I mentioned, there's still a lot of progress to be made. But in the next 5 years, the focus is going to be closing gaps where they exist with suppliers. So using innovative tools like Nimbly, which is a digital platform, and it helps us to conduct assessments in the field of our suppliers' operations or have our suppliers do this remotely. Now, this is particularly important in light of COVID-19 because we have to keep our employees, our technical partners, as well as our suppliers safe. So innovative tools such as this help us uphold our commitment also to safety while moving against our sustainability commitments. So by identifying these issues using the tool, we're able to support our suppliers in developing those action plans to close the gaps, and then also use that same tool to look at whether or not they're compliant. And as we move also beyond supplier operations and looking at smallholders, that's where, again, we're going to have to get really innovative. And it's going to take collaboration, partnership with our customers, our suppliers, and local governments to engage with smallholders and develop programs where we're able to identify alternative livelihoods where palm can't be developed. So that's one important point. Another one I really want to draw out that will be a focus in the next 5 years is preventing what we call a leakage market, which is when you have, for instance, a supplier who's been suspended from our supply chain, who, because they've been unwilling to meet our requirements, they go and sell into a market where there isn't that importance around sustainability. Mm-hmm. Looking at China, India, domestic market, there's demand out there for unsustainable oil. So how we're trying to address this is continuing to engage that supplier in other ways, even if we don't have a commercial relationship with them anymore, to try to bring them back on track so that we don't have this leakage market. And that leakage market threatens that goal of changing the brand of palm oil.
Now, we're almost out of time, but this is a question that I think is quite important. Protecting human rights also features quite prominently in the 2025 strategy. How is the company planning on approaching due diligence and compliance in this area? It's because, again, you're dealing with the smallholder farmers. How do you ensure compliance and protecting human rights?
So this is another area where we have a shared responsibility to address human rights issues, mm-hmm. whether it's labor or land rights, mm-hmm. in addition to deforestation in the supply chain. And so we're doing this through a few different ways. One is we are reviewing at the moment our human rights strategy, and this includes how we do due diligence. How can we strengthen the way we're doing due diligence? And what are the tools we can use for monitoring human rights issues in our supply chain? We're also partnering with our peers in the industry through, for example, the Decent Rural Living Initiative to pilot solutions to address labor aspects such as improving representation of workers and empowering women in the plantation. So again, you continue to see this theme and importance of collaboration to be able to address human rights issues at scale. And we can't forget that governments as well are going to be key in helping us to address these issues. So part of our responsibility with governments is also raising their awareness where there are issues and what the potential solutions are.
All right. I look forward to actually speaking to you again in maybe a year or so and see how the report card's looking then.
Thank you. I am looking forward to it too. And, you know, again, we're really excited to be a part of this journey towards transformation and working with our peers in the industry to really change the brand of palm oil into a more sustainable one.
This is The Soul of Business. We've been speaking with Alexandra Experton, a sustainability leader, Cargill Agricultural Supply Chain, Asia Pacific. Thank you so much for giving us the time. And I do look forward to that report card conversation.
Thanks so much, Clarissa. Take care. Stay safe.
You too. I'm Clarissa Montero. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.